Operation Sports is dedicated to sports gaming. Whether you're a hardcore fan diving deep into the intricate details of your favorite games, or a casual player just looking for a few tips to get better, or anyone in between, Operation Sports is your go-to site. Operation Sports world-famous forums are the best source for information for all your favorite sports teams of today, yesterday, and tomorrow. The forums are a goldmine of great content, from amazing roster files to make your franchises completely legit, to tons of great slider settings to personalize the experience just for you. And these are available for virtually every major sports game there is today, plus many from the past. And that's not all. You can create your own personal blog to interact with Operation Sports' dedicated community members, customizing it to your heart's content. Got an opinion about something? Publish it right on Operation Sports and interact with everyone. Operation Sports also produces a ton of great written content every day from its stable of writers and contributors, and it distributes terrific podcasts like College Football's Dual Threat and, hey, yours truly, the Press Row Podcast. So go to Operation Sports every day to be sure that you're in the know and you're having fun. Operation Sports, dedicated to sports gaming.
Go ahead.
Hello, this is the Press Row Podcast with my daddy.
Welcome to the Press Row Podcast, brought to you by Operation Sports. I'm your host, Richard Grisham. All right, we are back. We are live. It is episode 52. 52, that's ridiculous, of the Press Row Podcast for your Friday, October 25th, 2013. Moving from left to right on your radio. Up first, we have a man whose knowledge of basketball teams not located in Seattle is expected to rise significantly in the middle of November. From Pasta Padre, Mr. Brian Wiedeye. Brian, welcome to the show.
I'm not sure. What is that reference about?
I have a feeling you'll be playing a little bit of NBA
2K14. Oh, really? That am NBA Live, whether I want to or not, right? So, yeah, I'll be spending time with all sorts of sports games coming up, but I do know the NBA. I just don't have a rooting interest, and that has along the way kind of killed interest at one point. It did completely with basketball games, but yeah, I'm excited to try out the new stuff, whether it's 2K's, you know, their advancements or the brand new NBA Live. I mean, it's just something different, and that gets me excited right now.
Up next, we have a man whose story of the origination of his Xbox Live gamer tag is infinitely more interesting than that of Smoke'em XXX420. Kotaku, the author of Stick Jockey, Mr. Owen Good. Owen, welcome to the show.
That's Dude Man Best Bro 1 to you, buddy.
Dude Man Best Bro!
Yeah, no, it... you don't know how many times I get people to go, dude, is that really your gamer tag? And I'm like, yeah. what else should it be? I play sports, you know, come on.
Up next, a man who's very happy to have a girlfriend because apartments keep breaking up with him. From Polygon, Mr. Sumit Sarkar. Sumit, welcome to the show.
Yeah.
We're sorry for your loss.
It's just, man, New York. Just that's like, I've found something that I like about New York after 27 years.
All right, so this is what we got going on. So much to talk about. We are obviously, we are closer than ever to the launch of the next gen titles. There's all sorts of information coming out, game modes, videos, all that stuff. We got it all lined up to talk about for you. But before we do that, I want to go around the table real quick and find out what we've been playing. We'll start with you, Sumit Sarkar. What you been playing?
Well, mostly on the weekends, at least, GTA 5, mm-hmm. Which I'm still making my way through. I haven't really gone back to the online, but it's not from a dislike of it. I really want to complete the single player before I do that, just because I don't have a ton of free time to play games. And I'm not, like, blowing through it, because I'm just allowing myself to do what I do in all these kinds of games, is just to be distracted, you know, just to see something shiny off in the distance and then, you know, drive to it or fly to it, as the case may be. I have a lot of fun with that. Doing missions, doing side missions, messing around. Played some other stuff. There's been press events and other things since we've recorded last, like went to an EA Mobile thing today and played Plants vs. Zombies 2 on Android, which is coming out. So that was fun.
You know, I played a lot of the original Plants vs. Zombies, but I haven't actually tried 2. Is it is it dramatically different, the same but better? What is PVZ 2?
Yeah, I don't have a ton of experience with either game. It seems, from what I understand, it's you know, similar but better, or you know, more varied. I think a lot of people were really turned off to 2 because it's a free to play game, but I don't know. I've from what I've heard, it's reasonable with that stuff, in the sense that you can totally complete the game and see everything in it without having to, you know, use any in-app purchases or anything. But yeah. Cool. And otherwise, I think that's pretty much it as far as I can tell. How could I forget? I beat one Rich Grisham in Madden NFL 25.
Well, good thing there's no video evidence of that anywhere on the internet.
No. So that was I will admit it was a bit of a fluky win in a few senses.
Controversial, I would say.
By the way, yeah, I watched part of that, guys, and I was like, oh look, there's a guy who didn't try to make a sideline catch.
Yep.
There's a turnover that wasn't automatically reviewed.
Well, what was even funnier?
I was like,
funnier,
I felt bad for you, Rich, because you were getting screwed.
I did. I got screwed a couple times. But what was even funnier was Ian Cummings was also watching it and was making various comments of the like during the game as well. I kept on glancing down, and I'm glad I wasn't the only one going, come on, that's ridiculous, come on.
Yeah, I got burned by a couple of non-sideline catches too, but was definitely the beneficiary of a really weird fumble.
Yeah, the non-reviewable fumble.
Yeah, that was really strange. I didn't see a replay, but it just looked odd the way it happened.
Yeah, it was definitely odd. But hey, you won the game. It was a good game. I won the first game. You won the second one. And the best part about it is, you know, just like with the reason that I play sports games the way that I do now, which is against friends in leagues, is that I almost always have a good time, even if I lose. So, you know, there's that.
I will say, you know, you destroyed me the first time. This time it was a fair fight because, you know, I had Eli
your quarterback.
Manning.
Exactly.
Not Ryan Nassib.
Correct. Yes, that is true.
So, helped a little bit.
Oh, good. What have you been playing?
Believe it or not, I've been playing Pokemon Y.
All right. I love it.
I got that because I wanted to see what the hell this is all about. I'm 40 years old. I'd never played Pokemon in my life. I started it. Not really sure I quite got it. I don't know really what to make of it. It you know, there's sort of the toy aspect of it all, obviously, you know, collecting the individual Pokemon, and then there's also the training it up. There are some aspects of this game that, you know, are intriguing. There are others that don't age well. I won't say they're childish, but they just don't really, like, I mean, I'm not really keen on tapping that punching bag to make my Finnegan hit it harder so he or she will train up its special attack or whatever the hell. But I felt I did it out of a civic duty to understand, you know, what the hell is going on. Some 40-year-old guys, you know, go out and buy a motorcycle or they get a girlfriend with, you know, fake boobs. I buy Pokemon. So I was playing that. I've played another mature video game, Marvel Superheroes, Lego Marvel Superheroes, excuse me, which is, as you would expect of a Lego game. I mean, it's very charming. Visually, it's very appealing. But you also end up in these situations where you go, what the hell am I supposed to be doing here? You know, it's a puzzle game that sometimes leads you down these holes that doesn't really tell you what you should be doing and doesn't give you enough visual information to let you figure it out yourself.
I just started playing that too today. I mean, it's just like all the Lego games, right? And so there are times where I have to consult a walkthrough and see how they did it. You know, I pull
right.
it up on
well,
YouTube.
But the thing came out yesterday. Does a walkthrough even exist? I mean,
oh yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I haven't punked out like you. I'm stuck with Black Widow in some kind of a corridor with laser beams, and she's cloaked, and I can't figure out what the hell I'm supposed to do to deactivate the security so that Spider-Man doesn't get fried. And Hawkeye is, you know, typically a useless eunuch, as he always is in you know, the films and the books. And then I've played, you know, some Grand Theft Auto, and I've played Star Wars Pinball. They just released three new tables. I put up 90 million on the Darth Vader table. I'd just like to brag about that. Thank you.
How much do those tables cost? Because I have Star Wars Pinball. I have the three tables I got, I think, by having PS Plus.
Here's where I, you know, sound like George Bush trying to scan groceries. And he doesn't know how much things cost. I got mine for free.
Okay.
But it's, I think, $10.
Okay.
For this set of three. I would be surprised if it was less. I don't think it's more.
Well, I mean, they're known for being extremely good. I mean, the three I play all the time on my Vita, and they're spectacular.
Yeah. No, they're high quality, but, you know, I do understand that there are things that I can say are great, you know, knowing that I don't have to pay for them. Mm. So people have to go, are they really great? Are they worth my money? Right. If you're a pinball fan, yes. I mean, you know, these are, they're very well done, and they have a sort of an endless replayability to them. I would say that this series of Star Wars pinball tables, you know, the last one had a kind of small, medium, large feel to it, where it's like, you know, here's the one that everyone wants to play. Here's the one that is, you know, hard, and, you know, the potheads in your high school would play if this was an actual pinball table. And then here's the one for the kids. And the differences between the three in the latest series of three are a little bit more muted. And the Return of the Jedi table it's a little bit harder to pick up. The Return of the Jedi table, it's harder to trigger the missions that are based on the movie, you know, where you see the scenes playing out on the LED screen.
Yeah.
The window to hit the tunnel that you have to put the ball into is smaller, and the return from it is a lot trickier to handle. The mission triggers in Vader and in this starfighter thing are a little bit more subtle, and it's kind of hard to tell what's going on because you have a lot of information to process, and the instructions are not always the clearest, but still a lot of fun. If you can flick the flippers and kick the ball back and just keep it in play, you'll score a bunch, and it's a lot of fun.
Nice. Brian Weedy, what have you been playing?
Yeah, so like Owen was talking about, Lego Marvel, which is, you know, it's pretty awesome. I love all these Lego games, and we have a blast with them here. So, you know, it's a lot like, I think, Lego Batman 2, which was probably my favorite one before this. And so, you know, all the different characters, it's pretty neat to get a handle on each of them and find their powers. And even just starting out with Hulk, just going around and smashing everything was pretty fun. And then, you know, we've played some more in our, you know, Madden League and our NCAA Dynasty, and we're through the bowl season now. So,
yep.
And I won my bowl game on a last second field goal. It was a pretty dramatic sequence, but I was able to win the Las Vegas Bowl, which I really wasn't that enthused about. I was expecting BCS Bowl the previous week, so that was a bit of a letdown, but whatever, I'll take it. And then I'm halfway through Uncharted 3 now, which is, you know, I know most people think of number 2 as the best. I'm personally enjoying 3 more than the first two. So
I never did play 3. I played 1 and 2 though. Finished both of them.
I like the setting for the third. It's interesting. So yeah, that's where I stand now. I'm trying to get through Uncharted before the new systems and then I mean Lego Marvel is probably really the last current gen game I'm gonna buy.
And what are you playing that on?
360.
Okay.
Yeah.
You should have waited. It looks really good on PS4. I saw it like a month ago.
Yeah. I'm not sure if visually if that's gonna, you know, if that really matters in a game like this. Nice to have, but waiting a month, I'd rather just play this because there's gonna be too much for me to be playing in a month anyway.
No, that's true. It is like very. Yeah.
So I have actually been playing a whole bunch of stuff, and recently have jumped on the Twitch TV streaming train. I finally got around to hooking up my video capture machine to an older PC that doesn't move from next to my PC, next to my TV and my Xbox 360. And so I've been playing in our Madden League games, both Force Ring and in the Press Row League. I've been playing my NHL League and been playing a lot of FIFA, a lot of the online seasons. I'm really, really enjoying the online seasons, and I've been streaming pretty much all of it, really more to prepare for the next-gen games, because I think, obviously, as we've talked about, sort of streaming and sharing is going to be fully integrated into that. So I wanted to be able to have my, you know, my sort of channel up and running. But it's been kind of fun because in more than a few of the games that I've been streaming, I've seen a bunch of people sort of pop up and make comments, and it's just kind of cool to sort of share your experience with a group of people. And in fact, right before, Sumit, as we were talking about, you know, I was streaming our game, and we had a lot of interesting commentary. And just before we recorded the show, I streamed streamed our NHL, one of my NHL games, and so on. So I'm having a lot of fun with that. But something else that, you know, I never really talk about, I have a 3DS, but, you know, as everybody who listens to the show knows, I have a six-year-old son. And I got to tell you, Nintendo is so good at doing certain things, and one of the things that they're good at doing is creating an experience that can be enjoyed by, you know, together by, like, a dad and his kid. You know, everybody knows what Street Pass is, and, you know, when you bring your 3DS around, and you pass other people that have a 3DS, you know, exchange your little me characters. And every time that happens, your 3DS lights up green. And so whenever my 3DS is lit up green, my son gets really excited because he likes to see all the people that that come, you know, to the 3DS. And what's cool is Nintendo also has these nifty little mini games. They're like $5 games that every time you get one or more Miis, you get to use them in your game. And one of the games that they have is called Monster Manor. And it's an RPG, basically, but it's obviously a cute and fun little spooky one where you have to go through a haunted house and you have to solve little puzzles. And it is just a delight. And I am having as much fun playing it as he is. And having him sort of experience this kind of game for the first time together where the two of us can play is just awesome. And I, you know, it's the kind of thing that, you know, as we play all the different, you know, mature oriented games that we play, it's such a cool thing. And it makes me hope and realize that, you know, for all the doom and gloom surrounding Nintendo, that they really do have a lot of great ideas. And I hope that they continue to push those ideas that are outside of what, you know, so many of us in the gaming space really think about, but in reality, they can really kind of make you fall in love with video games again. So that's been a lot of fun. Okay, so we all know that sports games are the best games, but there's a lot of other great video games out there too, and no better way to keep up with them than the Weekend Confirmed podcast. Since 2006, host Garnet Lee has kept listeners up to date with everything from AAA to indie, news, commentary, analytical discussion, and of course, lots of hands-on time with games in the legendary What You've Been Playing. Jeff Cannata joins Garnet as co-host of Weekend Confirmed, bringing the whimsy and keeping things always upbeat. And a rotating group of video game industry vets from both the media and the studio round out the show each week. It's like getting to sit in and listen to a weekly meetup of video game friends talking about the things they love the most. Available each Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific, subscribe to the Weekend Confirmed podcast today to join the gang. Available on iTunes, your favorite RSS podcast player, or directly from shacknews.com. All right, but let's get to the good stuff. Lots of stuff to talk about. Obviously, as we are recording today on Wednesday night, the 23rd, there has been finally, I guess most of us would say, a flood of information coming out about all of the next-gen sports video games. We've had updated blogs and videos on blocking from Madden. We've had some video interviews and some game mode updates on FIFA 14. But before we get to any of that, we kind of got to – but the basketball – what's happening at basketball is fascinating for a lot of different reasons. We've had – obviously, it's the only, you know, sport on Next Generations where you'll have, you know, two games. You'll have NBA 2K14 and NBA Live. And both have released trailers. NBA 2K14 has had – I don't know if they released it, but certainly there was video released on GameStop, live 5-on-5 gameplay video. There's been a lot of information today that has come out about the mode. So we'll touch on that. But I really just kind of want to talk a little bit more about how we feel that these two franchises are shaping up. So for starters, let's talk NBA 2K14. The game modes, at least most of them, were announced today. You've got basically, if I have it right, there's basically four modes. There's the My GM, which is kind of the offline association. There's the My Career, which is an updated version of My Career.
My Team.
My Team, right. That's the
that's the Ultimate Team, right, the kind ultimate of team, yep. mode, yeah.
And then lastly, there is
NBA Today.
NBA Today. So you have these four game modes. There's already people kind of freaking out about what is not in the game, that is in the current generations and the whole, situation with that. But let's just, first of all, I'll start with you, Brian. Are you surprised, intrigued? What you first read about the modes, what was your first take on what they're offering so far?
Yeah, well, I think they started out by talking about how it's not a port. I mean, that was something you would have thought we'd know before now, but it, though it's not going to look completely different than what we have already. But it's not a port. They obviously put a lot of resources into the game, which I think is a good thing. And I'm definitely intrigued by what they're doing with the modes, because My Career sounds more like a story mode now, My GM, is bringing in more of kind of the actual general manager duties and managing a team to what used to be association. As a whole, though, what interested me the most out of this is that it's a reversal of roles here, where at this current generation, we're just ending now. At the beginning of it, it was EA Sports that was building from the ground up games while 2K was porting theirs over. And you saw it right then, EA stumbled, and some would say they didn't even recover completely by the end of this generation. And 2K had that stability at the start and were able to build on what made their games so good. And eventually, peaked, and maybe peaked to a point where now they needed to do something new to keep people interested in the product. And so it's very compelling to me what's happening here, because the outcome may end up being different. I sure hope it's different, and that NBA 2K14 is really good. And based on what we've seen, the little bit we've seen, and the details of the features, I think that at the very least you can say it's more fully featured than EA's games were back then. And they're doing new things with these modes, which I think is, again, that gets me more excited about the game than I would have been otherwise. So it's really an interesting situation, I think, just to see how they're handling this, and just the way things have flip-flopped from, 7 or 8 years ago, and how EA's games look basically the same, have all the same features, and that's what they're selling them on, is that they're basically the same, that you're not going to be let down. But 2K is delivering some new experiences and trying to take advantage of really the technology and their capabilities more so than EA is right now. But, that could put them on shaky ground. I think it's probably unlikely to happen, but, it does make it a little more questionable. So it'll be fun to see where we go. But we're getting two basketball games that were essentially designed with next gen in mind. And I think that's a good thing. And that's it'll be fun to play through them and see where they excel and where they've got to go from here.
There's a lot of different directions this conversation can go now, but I the thing that keeps sort of rolling around in the back of my mind is that, first of all, for the games that I like, it's obvious to me now, especially with the delays of some of the games that were supposed to launch, like Watch Dogs and Drive Club and others, particularly on the PS4, that the PS4 and the Xbox One will, the PS4 especially, just because that's coming out earlier, are going to be my FIFA and NBA 2K machines, right? I mean, I'll obviously get NBA Live when it comes out, and Madden as well. But is NBA 2K14 going to be the system seller, the killer app for the PS4, Owen? I mean, is that where we're heading?
I don't know, and I don't know that any game is going to be the system seller. I think people who are going to get into this are already heavily invested in video gaming and you know, want to see the next thing and are, you know, willing to come along for the ride and go, wow, you know, this is something that I've experienced on my or can experience on my current console. And this just makes it so much better. And if that's so, that's great. That's fine. The idea that, first of all, if there's any game that's going to sell a system, man, I don't know which one that is. I know that there's a lot of enthusiasm for things like Titanfall, you know, Infamous Second Son. But
neither of those are coming out at launch, though, right?
Correct. So it's like, you know, you're sort of falling back into the old, you know, pattern of, you know, really, has there ever been a system seller at launch, you know, for a new console? And I think that's kind of, you know, open to question. And as I mentioned, you know, as I kind of lamented today, you know, sports being an inherently visual showcase, and the fact that we don't have the kind of leap in technology this year that we saw 8 years ago, you know, in terms of transitioning from standard definition tube 4.3 ratio TVs to, right, you know, the 16:9 high definition signals that we have today, with everything just looking, you know, clear as a bell, you truly do have, you know, this kind of, as I've said before, it's like shaving hundredths of a second off of the 100-meter dash time. It's still a world record. It's still better, but the distinction is not as profound. And I think sports would be the last genre that you would look to, you know, to be a system seller, and unless we're going back to our old friends MLB The Show, in which case it could be the only option on a single console, you know, going forward next year with, you know, has anybody heard anything about baseball on the Xbox consoles? I don't know. Here's the thing that I come back to for why things feel so frankly dead right now. You know, NBA 2K notwithstanding, and to be honest, you know, they had their event today. I was asked if I wanted to have a conference call with people at 2K Sports 3 weeks ago, you know, about how they were going to make NBA 2K14 on the next generation of consoles a distinct game from what you're playing now on the 360 and the PS3. And I said, absolutely. That's a, you know, primary story topic as we're approaching November. And I said, great. And then that conference call was canceled at the last minute. And I kind of thought it might've been because I was tepid, you know, with my review. Still gave it a yes, but I wasn't enthusiastic. Who knows? They've been willing and ready to talk about this for some time. And it's interesting that they're only doing it now. You know, it, as I said today, will it be a distinctive game? Yes. When you take the step forward in technology, inevitably you come to an immersive environment where you go, this is so much better than the thing I used to play. Given the option of the two, there's no way I would go back. But again, we still haven't been provided with, you know, enough of a wow factor in sports, and I just don't know that it exists to say, yes, this is a game I want, and by God, this is why I am buying a PS3, or this is why I am buying an Xbox One. It's because it's going to take the sport that I enjoy, and it's going to make it so much more real than I have ever experienced it before. We just haven't seen that. We just have not seen that.
Sumit, are you personally buying a PS4 on launch, and are you buying NBA 2K and or FIFA and or Madden?
Well, I do have both PS4 and an Xbox One pre-ordered, so right. I'll be getting them on launch day. I'm not sure yet about which sports games I'm going to be buying. I'm also not sure which which ones may show up at the Polygon office, and I'll be able to, you know, give them a try there. But looking at what we've seen so far out of Madden and FIFA, you know, as we've spoken about on the show before, I'm not particularly enthused about the prospect of spending $60 on next gen Madden, or I wouldn't be if I had spent $60 on current gen Madden. or sure, you know, there's a $10 upgrade offer or whatever. But I really don't know this one. I think I'm sort of in the same boat as Owen in the sense that I really need to see more. And by see more, I mean I really need to just spend a lot of hands-on time with these things if I'm going to spend the money on them. And honestly, as I was saying earlier, or rather before we recorded, I'm kind of, now that Watch Dogs has been delayed, I'm kind of down on the PS4 in general. I mean, I was always planning to get Battlefield 4 on Xbox One. You know, that was going to be the game there. And Watch Dogs was going to be the PS4 game that I was going to get at launch, sports stuff notwithstanding, because, you know, that's up in the air. But now, maybe I'll get Need for Speed Rivals. I mean, I played that a few weeks ago. That seemed pretty cool. The other stuff doesn't really interest me, and if we're talking just about the sports games that are going to be available, the ones that already exist still, you know, haven't necessarily done enough, shown enough to really convince me that they're games that I would, you know, that I would want to be interested in buying again. And NBA Live is really a big question mark, and so that's, oddly enough, one that I would maybe buy just because I'm curious to see what that is, and there's no other version of it.
You know, NBA 2K14, I am all in on it. The two games that I am most excited about are FIFA and NBA 2K, and there's a direct correlation. That's because those are the two games that I am most enjoying right now in sports as well. I play FIFA all the time. I play NBA all the time, and I thoroughly enjoy them. I don't think I'll get any other games other than NBA 2K, NBA Live, Madden, and FIFA. And what's going to be interesting is I will probably have them all on the PS4 because it comes out earlier. Although I don't know if I have the same ability to trade in my current generation games for the $10 offer on PS4. No. I think that's only for the Xbox. So. Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. But I am extremely, extremely interested in those games. Whether I was doing it, and I'm not doing any reviews that I know of for any of these games. So this is all just for, you know, for my own personal enjoyment, and frankly, just so that you know, I can play the games with my friends online, and we can stream it, and we can get in the new leagues and see what's great and what's terrible about it. When it comes to NBA 2K14, sort of getting back to that for a minute, what's interesting to me is that the four modes that they are announced really cover all the four types of players that you would really have, right? You've got My Career, which is the pure play single player, which as we know now has you know, much more of a story element to it. There's already story elements in the existing My Player, but it looks like they're going, you know, much more in there, which is very appealing to the single player, the pure play single player. Obviously, My GM is your traditional franchise mode. You can only play it with one person in the offline mode, which I know has some people, you know, some people upset. But, you know, to me personally, it doesn't matter because there's nobody else that I would be sharing a association with on my PS4 locally. But I know, again, other people, that is a big deal, and I get that. My Team is the ultimate team thing. I continue to not be particularly interested in that in basketball. It does have some appeal to me in soccer. And NBA Today, which is, again, sounds really cool because it's a, you know, just get in, let's play what's going on right now, or let's play what was going on yesterday and, you know, with the dynamic ratings and all that. So they really do have a very strong feature set. And then when you look at the video that came out today, to me, that looks fantastic. It really does look tremendous. It's the kind of video that when I look at this, I'm like, okay, the minute I start playing NBA 2K14 on my PS4 is the last time I will ever want to play NBA 2K14 on my PS3 or my 360, which I'm currently playing. So when it comes to NBA 2K, everything that I've seen and heard has put me in even more of a positive light on the game. I don't quite believe that they've built everything from the ground up. I'm not smart enough to know what that truly means anyway. They did announce that they have a new game engine called EcoMotion, and you know, raise your hand if you're kind of tired about hearing new game engines for sports games. But so that's the only thing that I'm a little bit dubious on, but I don't really care. If the game looks great and has all these modes and my $60 that I spend on it translates into 40 or 80 or 100 hours of gameplay, to me, that's more than you could probably hope for in a launch game. But speaking of technical stuff, there's been quite a bit of discussion, even today at the event. Everything was shown only on PS4. And I know, Brian, you've been having some conversations with people about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think there was a marketing agreement going back to E3, and really 2K has been closer with Sony over the years. Whereas EA, went with Microsoft with their marketing partnership, and which includes some exclusive content. You know, the funny thing about all this, when I was talking about role reversals earlier, I wanted to also mention, it slipped my mind that, the way these companies are talking about these games now are also kind of flip-flopped. Back in, 2004, 2005, it was EA talking with Madden about how, look at these visuals, let's zoom in, and look, there's a microwave in the suite here in the stadium. Amazing. And then today, 2K, I saw a tweet that talked about how they zoomed in and showed a fingerprint on the monitor on the sideline. It just kind of made me laugh. Because, all this technical talk, I think it's a little overwhelming for most people and doesn't mean a whole lot to most people. It has to materialize in the game. And so when you say it's a new engine for 2K, I think people expect a little more than maybe what they saw in that gameplay video, which is the gameplay looks very, very familiar. Under the hood, the AI and all that stuff could be fantastic, right. And you're not gonna get a sense of any of that from a 2-minute video. But it's just kind of funny to me how they're approaching things differently now, and maybe for the best now, and I think we can hope that. And then as far as the PS4 goes, I wonder, are these multi platform titles going to be better on the PS4 than the Xbox One, and will anyone pay attention to that? Because most people are going to get the PS4 version, as far as probably reviewers go, because it's out a week earlier. So is anyone going to pay any notice to that? It's just another interesting thing I'm looking at as the time comes here in a few weeks.
This is what I keep coming back to with, how are people going to respond to seeing a game that came out, in August or in September or October on Xbox 360 or PS3, and now again, in a more refined form on Xbox One or PS4, and it's this. We play these games so much, we are so attuned to the animations that we see in them. And I think, more so in sports than really, any other genre, because that's, you're talking about games that are defined by contact or, repeated activity. I mean, it's a sport. There's a sort of a repetition that you assume that goes along with them, but I digress. Anyway, when you see higher quality visuals that are supported with the same animations and same interactions, regardless of what intelligence led the game into those interactions, that's really where the I'm seeing the same game is going to come in, for me. And if they've done things around it to, more immerse you or to, more wow you, I'm not going to see a fingerprint on a monitor. I'm not going to see dirt on the backboard. I'm also not going to see translucent skin, on a running back. And I'm really not going to pick up the level of detail, in the fabric texture on your defensive lineman. So, a lot of this stuff just seems really pointillistic to me. And where we... It just seems problematic to me. We might end up in a situation where we go, the game plays exactly the same because the guts of it are the same and have to be the same. And frankly, you're talking about still a sport whose rules are fundamentally the same for a century that they're recreating in higher visual fidelity, and that's it. And I wonder if these games are really going to get a fair enough shake, you know, because that's what was going on with Madden with its promotions with ESPN on Monday Night Football, and why everybody, you know, was savaging them is that first of all, I mean, it was terrible visual quality, but the animations that you were looking at, they were all jammed up close in, and it looked like every other highlight reel that, you know, somebody on Twitch or YouTube, you know, would cut of their game of the week. And you go, well, how is this different? And it really wasn't. And I think it had more to do with what you were seeing on the field, again, the interactions and the animations, as opposed to, you know, the actual visual fidelity. And I just wonder how people are going to react when they start seeing the same thing that they are, because it necessarily has to be. They haven't built these next generation games from scratch. There's something that is being carried over from the previous generation to them. And I just wonder, you know, is what we're seeing around that going to be enough to make our eyes bug out of our heads?
Yeah. You know, going off of Owen's point, I'm certainly in agreement there in the sense that, you know, certainly what we've seen of the now three games, Madden, FIFA, and NBA 2K, you know, we've seen now these three games in action in gameplay footage and yeah, NBA Live as well, gameplay footage. But, you know, we know that there's certainly a visual upgrade, a noticeable one in the case of FIFA and NBA, yeah. less so for Madden. But, you know, I saw the same guys failing to make sideline catches in Madden. You know, the same kinds of animations and things like that. And that's certainly a point for those games, for Madden and FIFA specifically. But that's why I'm excited to check out NBA 2K. You know, Brian brought this up earlier, is, you know, I think we all kind of felt this way in our reviews of NBA 2K14 on current gen, that they didn't really do enough outside of gameplay to meaningfully evolve 2K14 over 2K13. I mean, my player and association were basically untouched,
right?
As far as I could tell. And so now the idea that, you know, even if the gameplay, you know, is fundamentally the same with, you know, yeah, better foot planting and things like that, you know, I think NBA 2K14 plays great.
Yes, I
and
agree.
And if it's a little bit better on next gen with extra memory for animations and, you know, better physics interactions and whatnot, that's awesome.
Better crowds, but, better sounds. That's,
right, right. Let's
do it.
That's great. But honestly, you know, the stuff that really was disappointing to me about 2K14 on current gen was the stuff outside of actual gameplay. And, you know, that's the one encouraging thing to me about them building this game as a separate experience from the current gen game, because they were able to focus on that stuff, which they clearly, you know, it was just, you know, it wasn't an area of focus on the current gen because they had other things that they were doing, you know, LeBron mode and whatnot, and bringing back Cruz.
Which I love the LeBron Path to Greatness mode. I've had a blast playing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, you know, maybe if I'd played more of that, I would have enjoyed it more. But anyhow, you know, the idea that we're going to have this new MyGM mode, or, you know, evolution of association as MyGM, and the idea that we're going to have my career as something that actually feels different and it sounds like meaningfully different,
right?
From last year, that's what's exciting to me about this, because, you know, EA is pitching their next gen versions of the current gen games as complete feature parity, which is encouraging in the context of the previous generational changeover, because that's something that they did not achieve back then. So it's certainly great that those games are the same, but that's also a drawback. And I think here a different approach could pay off for 2K.
So we talked quite a bit about NBA 2K14. Again, I just sort of want to cap it by saying there are people who, and Brian, you've got comments on your site already on Pasta Padre about this, people who have watched the video, excuse me, the gameplay video that has been released, and some are wowed by it and some are not. I think it looks fantastic. seeing that, it clearly is a significant step up in visually. It looks like the a lot of the sort of the fundamental core gameplay elements are going to be familiar, which for a game that has changed its control set for the three consecutive years, I actually welcome. I am.
Yeah, you
okay
don't want
that
for the second time in 1 year. You don't want it to change.
Exactly. So, I mean, game looks significantly better. Game plays well. The game has new interesting modes. What more could we possibly want from a launch game when a lot of other important launch games can't even figure out how to come out when the system launches? So, you know, I don't know. To me, it's almost like a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of situation. I'm thoroughly impressed with what they're offering, and obviously, it'll be interesting when the final game lands in our hands. But of all of the games, it's NBA 2K14 and certainly FIFA that continue to impress me in how they're approaching it. But let's talk now. Let's go from NBA 2K14 to NBA Live. NBA Live has been releasing a steady stream of information. Perhaps, Owen, in response to your milk carton stick jockey piece a couple of weeks ago, which I don't know if you heard the interview I did with Scott O'Gallagher. He actually even made reference to that.
No, I didn't, but that doesn't surprise me. Scott and I talk.
Yeah. So NBA Live has been releasing a steady stream of information. They've released a gameplay trailer, very brief. They released a new trailer today on dribbling. Sean O'Brien, the executive director, has taken to Twitter and answered some questions. Again, Scott came on the show, talked about some stuff. More and more is coming out on Live. Owen, based upon what you've seen and heard on Live right now, how are you feeling about it and when it hits?
I think the game is going to be fine. And that's not just, you know, damnation by faint praise because, oh, it's actually going to come out. You know, we're obviously beyond that threshold. I think the game is going to be fine. I don't think it's going to make anybody forget about NBA 2K14. I don't think that's its purpose. What's going to be vexing for me and, you know, folks who are on the inside and those who are invested in the horse race of EA Sports versus 2K Sports is going to be, you know, under how broad of a context, you know, should we be judging this thing? Should we be judging it on how, you know, simply on this year only? What was released? Is it any good? You know, how does it play? What do the players look like? You know, how does that feel? And that's going to be tough because there's very little to compare it to. You know, we're again talking about, you know, we're talking about a simulation sports title, which is an iterative genre, which, you know, we're used to comparing these things to last year and the year before and the year before that. And, you know, NBA Live has had nothing not only on a new console generation, but on any console generation going back to 2010. So there's that sort of, you know, what is going to be a fair context into which, you know, you judge this game. The second thing is going to be, you know, do you judge this, you know, next to its competition? Yeah, sorry, I'm being reminded that NBA Live 10 was actually October 2009. Naming conventions always screw me up. It was NBA Elite 11, and Andrew Bynum in 2010 that didn't make it to shelves. Although it did make it to distributor warehouses, and some people, you know, got copies of that game, and they're worth a lot of money right now. But going back to the more material point here, it's, you know, do you judge this game directly next to its competition, which I think coming into this, no one expects it to compare. Do you judge it next to its history on another hardware lifespan? I don't know. I don't know if that's fair or not. Do you judge it, you know, in the context of the fact that EA Sports couldn't release it last year? Well, last year's game was supposed to be completely different. It was going to be a downloadable. NBA Live is going to be a real wild card for me. I think it's going to be an okay game. I think it's going to establish solid footing. I think if you're a hardcore basketball fan, there's going to be no reason for you to pick it up next to NBA 2K. I don't think that means it's a pile of crap. You know, I can be proven wrong about that, But, you know, out of the gate, I don't see why, you know, we should have some sort of presumption against it. But it's definitely going to end up being a work that builds for the future and just sort of gets them back on their feet. And yes, there will be a cynical component to it, which is this is EA Sports. This is the new console, and there are going to be a lot of grandmothers and aunts out there who, you know, look at the label and go, you know, little Johnny likes basketball and I'll get that for him, and they'll make money off of that. And that's, you know, that's fine. It drives 2K crazy, but it's not going to be enough at all ever to knock them off their perch. And it's a little disingenuous to suggest that EA is at all competitive, you know, on brand reputation. Their brand on this game has been sunk by, you know, consecutive failures to launch.
Brian Weedow, you uncovered some modes and some features about NBA Live. Mm. What did you know? Anything in there surprise you, please you, disappoint you, and what have your readers been saying about it?
Well, yeah. So a few of them are the return of NBA Rewind, and you know that's something that debuted along with Dynamic Season back in NBA Live 09, and those were, you know, fairly popular. I thought they executed those pretty well, where you can, you know, you have the synergy data and you could go back in time and replay a game from the past with the correct rosters, tendencies, ratings from that time. And then Dynamic Season, where you could play along with the season. Again, not something I ever found really compelling to do, but you know, it was a nice option for people who wanted to play that way. And then, of course, Ultimate Team, which we've known about for a while, and that'll have legends integrated. I think talking about modes, though, is getting a little ahead of ourselves with Live, because I'm still open to this game. I still think it can be a fun game. But, you know, like the trailer they put out was kind of disheartening, because there was a lot of stuff you could point out in that trailer and say, well, where's the Ignite engine and where's, you know, the power of the next gen systems that you have all these empty bench seats and you have no one at the announcer's table and you have, you know, railings in the crowd that are twice as tall as they should be. Like, attention to detail that you would expect with next gen wasn't there. And then, you know, and you compare the two basketball games, if you're into doing that. I don't necessarily think you have to compare them to determine the worth of NBA Live. But it's hard to say, you know, your $60 is going somewhere. You know, where should your $60 go, with the established product or the one that they've barely shown you anything of and wasn't impressive with the trailer? So I don't really know. You know, Live is still that big question mark, and to me that makes it intriguing in a way.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see. But from a consumer standpoint, that maybe isn't the best quality you want right now. They should have been really exposed this game completely if they had confidence in it long before now. They had no – it wouldn't hurt them to do it at all. But holding back a little bit, I think, erodes some of the confidence you might have, the limited confidence you might have in the product and where it might be going from here. We'll have to see.
Sumit, you and I will be in New York in a couple of weeks. We're going to have our chance to get our hands on NBA Live a couple of weeks before it comes out. What are you – to you, what's the best case scenario going there, and what's your worst case scenario going there, expectation wise?
Oh, you know, worst case scenario is, I guess, it's a broken game, which I don't think it will be. I mean, who knows now with Watch Dogs being delayed a month before it was supposed to come out, but I don't know. I like Owen. I think that game will be playable and just fine at a bare minimum. Best case scenario is that it's, I guess, like as good as NBA 2K14 on current gen, right? Which I also don't think will be the case. But yeah, you know, as I said earlier, it's a question mark, and I'm intrigued by that. I'm really curious to see, you know, what the hell that game is. And you know, one thing I've noted is that, you know, they like just I think it was today, yeah, just today they put out a blog post talking about like three levels of dribbling, and I'm like, guys, you debuted the game in May and talking about bounce tech or whatever, like that's all you've been talking about. I played it at E3 one-on-one and it was just dribbling. That was all I could sample. and you're, you know, still talking about that 3 weeks before the game's coming out.
And, Sam, sorry to jump in, but if they're going to show the dribbling and show it in context of 5-on-5 gameplay at this point, right? I mean, that's
– yeah.
We had the one – this isn't – you know, it's not a, someone in my comment. NBA Live looks like a great 1-on-0 or 1-on-1 game, you know. Because yeah. they, if you're going to talk more about dribbling, show us how it all fits together, the pieces, right? Instead of just slapping, you know, here's Kyrie Irving again, dribbling by himself. That's the part that gets me about it. Sorry to interrupt, but that I just wanted to interject there.
No. I totally agree. And so it's that's the reason I'm really curious about what it's going to play like when, you know, when I get my hands on it, is because there really has been very little indication of what that game is so far from their marketing, from the dev blogs. And you know, they've said a little bit more in, you know, like the interview that that you did with them, Rich, and but you know, at this point, I think another question for me also is, you know, what's EA's expectation for this on the publisher side? You know, they are aware, you know, having talked with Andrew Wilson at E3, you know, they're aware that they've had failings with the franchise for the past 3 years. And they are also aware, you know, talking with the dev team, that they're not going to be able to compete toe-to-toe with 2K14. And, you know, I'm really curious to see, you know, like, you know, what is a success for them? What is a success from, you know, not just a sales standpoint, you know, maybe not even like from a critical standpoint, but like, you know, the question mark here is, you know, not like how does the game compare to 2K14? Is I think the question is NBA Live 14 a decent enough product for EA Tiburon to gain a foothold with it? You know, for at this point, I'm almost looking at it from the point of view of, is this something for them to, you know, can it be something for them to build on? You know, is it a playable first effort? Is it a good first effort? And then, you know, sort of, if it is, you know, hopefully it will be, you know, where we go from here is going to be, I think, the real test, you know, next fall.
The word that I keep coming up with, if I could, you know, sort of describe the sentiment around NBA Live 14, the one word right now is frustration, and frustration everywhere. I'm sure the development team is frustrated that we, and either by, you know, whether the perception is accurate or whether it's actually true, that we in the media, as well as the you know, fans of video games, are judging NBA Live before we've even played it. There's clearly frustration with the fans who are clamoring for information about the game and are getting little drips and drabs relatively soon before the release of it. There's frustration with the media for the same reason. And, you know, there's just an overall frustration from sort of I don't know, just video game fans in general around EA Sports and its handling of the NBA franchise. And all of these questions will be answered in 4, 5, 6 weeks once the game is released and it's in everybody's hands. But it's a really – I can't recall certainly a sports game that has had this level of frustration around it so soon before its release. It's just a really it's weird, wild stuff where this game is right now.
Well, if they're frustrated, I mean, speaking on behalf of fans, we're frustrated too. They had a viable game in NBA Live 10. They tried to burn it down with NBA Elite 11. They haven't recovered since. They had a plan last year that, you know, they were out there aggressively spinning a message that, you know, this wasn't a game 3 years into development. Fine, it was at least 2 years in development, and they couldn't put it out on that timetable. I mean, Rich, I don't want to make your editing job any harder, but, you know, if they're frustrated, okay. The public at this point has every right to have the posture of it's time to bleep or get off the pot. Okay. I mean, it really is. And I understand, I mean, you know, I know that you're talking about someone's work, you know, it's an entire year's worth of work. And when they see, you know, it completely minimized by, you know, some score on Metacritic, it's tough and it's very hard. And it often doesn't reflect the actual amount of, you know, care and give a damn that goes into those things. And especially when you see the comments that go underneath it. But my God, this game has got to come out before they start getting the benefit of the doubt of, you know, we're weather beaten by our fan. I mean, Madden, you know, Madden is probably the most henpecked sports video game franchise of them all. But at least Madden comes out every year. And I can give their developers the benefit of the doubt, even as I, you know, criticize it for the things that it falls short on. At least I know, hey, the effort is there every year because the game comes out every year. NBA Live, you've got to earn it. And you earn it when you put the game out.
And the irony is, if people are frustrated, if they're upset about how it's being handled, it's because they actually care. They actually want, you know, another viable product on the market in, you know, in sports genre that has lost so many of them. If, you know, the worst thing would be ambivalence, people not, you know, don't care, don't talk about Live at all, don't care about it, then you know it's over. But if you have people actually seeking out information and you won't give it to them, or wanting to see what the product's going to look like and you won't do it, and then you know, judging those people for wanting to know about your product, I think is the exact opposite way you should be approaching this.
I almost wonder if, you know, the way that their marketing campaign, or the way they're running their marketing campaign, is to, you know, to sort of tamp down expectations for the game. You know, maybe, and not that they think the game is going to be bad, but maybe they're drip feeding information because they're like, well, look, let's not build up the fans into a frenzy over, you know, giving them or making them think this is going to be a game that's going to compete with 2K14. And maybe let's give them an idea of, yeah, this is going to be a playable game, but maybe not much else. And you know, like as I said, you know, get a foothold in the market and look forward to 2014.
You know, as we do get closer, and I guess it's the optimist in me, I'm hoping that NBA Live has something that we have not yet heard about it, something that differentiates itself, whether it is the welcoming of newcomers by making it easier to do certain things, whether it is a particular game mode or set of players, you know, whether it's legendary players or, you know, something that it can offer, whether it is on the court or it's an ancillary mode. I'm just hoping that there is something that it brings to the table that differentiates itself, that it's not just, you know, I put the words just in air quotes, not just a, you know, a poor man's version of NBA 2K14. I'm really hoping that's not the case, because no matter what, at the end of the day, I really would love it for more sports games to come back to the table. I would love it for there to even be a baseball game, for example, on a platform other than just the PS4 next spring. But boy, it's just, you know, if NBA Live comes out and it is a disaster, it'll just do more to I think, chase other potential suitors away from the sports genre that desperately needs competition, where we just continue to lose games every single year, frankly. All right, speaking of the next generation, one of the things that I am really looking for with next generation games is something that I have wanted for, I'm going to say, at least 10 years. Virtually every major sports game has a season mode and a playoffs mode and things like that. But something that I have always wanted was the ability for, and this goes back to my buddy Beer Gut, who, if anybody who's listened to me for a long time knows, my buddy Beer Gut and I used to play NHL on the original Xbox all the time. And we would play tournaments, just best of seven games against each other all the time. And we would obviously have to keep track, you know, write the games down, who scored the goals and who won the games. We just played best of seven, all sorts of different teams over and over and over again. And while there are, have been great advancements in these things, obviously in our online leagues and connected franchises and things where we can go in and we can play and we can play each other and keep track of all of our stats, there is no game that I'm aware of that would allow me to just set up a little four-game tournament in FIFA or in NBA or in Madden or in NCAA where I could just set up a little four-game elimination tournament. And after we record the show, the four of us could just go play it and we keep track of who won the games and the stats. One thing that I would love the next generation of sports games to be able to do is to allow the configuration, the creation of very simple little ways, little, you know, seven-game series or single elimination tournaments, things like that, new and different ways for friends to play the game in short bursts. Because as we know, when you are playing in seasons or franchises, it can be very difficult to make it through one and two and three, right? I mean, life gets in the way and so on and so forth. So I'm really hoping that the next generation of consoles offers something like that, some way where you can sort of take a step outside of the traditional game mode and still sort of have organized way of playing your friends. And
you know, Rich, when you say that, you know what it makes me think about is the one year, I think it was only 1 year that we got the overtime mode online in NCAA football. That was fun. That would only take, you know, a few minutes possibly. Could Absolutely. Be longer.
Yep.
But just playing it, but you could just hop on and play one, two, three, depending on how much time you had. You didn't have to invest an hour or whatever. And it was always high drama. And then they got rid of it. And I don't know why they ever did. I thought that was a lot of people really enjoyed that.
And in fact, you know, and it's something that even came to me as I was playing friend of the show, Cat Bailey, who was on the show the other day. We were streaming some FIFA games. In FIFA, when you play just an online friendly against somebody, it keeps track of like your points, right? So like I won the first match 2-0, and then at the end of the game, I saw that in our head to head matchups, I just got 3 points for a victory, and then in the second game, she won 2-0 and she got 3 points. So clearly, there's the underlying sort of functionality to sort of randomly be able to keep track of matches between players, and the ability to just to set up little small tournaments and things like that just directly in the game, I think, is something that would be just a whole lot of fun, and I think would encourage a whole lot more, you know, communities to be able to spring up. So go around the table. Is there anything that you could think of in the next generation of sports games, sort of, you know, as we head into that next generation, that outside the traditional modes, anything that you can sort of think of that you would like to see the next generation of sports games offer? And I'll start with you, Sumit.
You know, I really like the skill games in FIFA, not just as a tutorial mechanic for learning how to play that game, but I love the way they integrate leaderboards into it. I think that stuff is really cool. And I always, you know, certainly like sports games are really big on head-to-head competition, right? Or you know, whatever team-based online play, but there's less of it in, at least in the simulation sports games versus the arcade games. There's less of that kind of asynchronous, you know, leaderboard based yeah. competition, and you know those kinds of or that kind of thing usually lends itself to like what you were talking about. You know, those shorter kinds of experiences, those, you know, smaller, you know, one-off quick modes. And I was thinking about, I don't know if you guys have played Backbreaker on mobile phones.
Yeah.
But like just this, something as simple as that tackle alley, you know, where you're just running down the field, trying to score a touchdown, trying to, you know, dodge all the defenders that are coming at you. I mean, as silly as it sounds, like I think that could be something that if they just as a throw-in in Madden, you know, where you had people just trying to rack up as high a score as possible, especially with this year's emphasis on the running game, you know, on the precision modifier and all that stuff, you know, I think that, you know, something like that could be really cool, like just little things where I feel like it's such a huge thing for these major publishers to say nowadays, oh, you know, we want the mobile game to be pick up and play. We want it to be an experience that you can get in and out of and play while you're waiting in line at Starbucks or whatever. And granted, that's not something that you usually turn on your console and boot up a game a retail game for, but you know, maybe you could have that kind of quick competitive mode that is really based around leaderboards.
Brian, I know you got something that you want to bring to the table on this.
Yeah, you know what I really want is a second screen in my lap when I play sports games. Just kidding. we talked plenty about that last time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just in general, arcade games, you know, it's sad that they've pretty much died off. And looking back at all the games from this generation, you know, there were ones, the Bigs and NBA Street Home Court. And I was like, man, you know, back
the Bigs.
Yeah. You know, we don't have those games anymore. That's disappointing. And then getting more specific, going back even further, I don't know why this hasn't happened. Because if they could do it like 15 years ago, they could do it now. Why don't we have cut-ins to highlights around the league when we're playing games? Yeah. Even I want to see it in our league, in our online leagues. I want to see highlights of your game.
Yeah, absolutely.
We praised NCAA football for getting in the studio updates when all they did was, you know, talk a little bit and tell us scores. Why haven't we gotten actual highlights? I mean, we have these gigantic hard drives and everything now. It's, come on, there's no excuses for that. I don't understand that. And that's what I want, because I remember as a kid, though, that was awesome to be playing and see, like, oh, it cuts into a different playoff game something. Who knows what it was, but it'd go to a different game and show you somebody catching a touchdown. I was like, man, that's awesome. Why don't we have that now?
That used to blow me away. It's funny. You know, in FIFA, they are probably the closest to doing that. When you're playing a season or a tournament, they will cut to the audio of a fellow who says, "Oh, and now we're heading to Old Trafford where Man U has just scored on a penalty or something like that." So they at least have something to make you feel like, you know, you're part of a larger living universe. But yeah,
it's a goal for Manchester United.
So I think since the start of the conversation, Owen went from two things to four things. So, Owen, what do you got for us?
Well, to get to the point about the around the league environment or atmosphere, you know, halftime updates or score break-ins or things like that, that is absolutely where NCAA football was headed before it got taken out of commission. And I can remember, you know, last year when they brought in Reese Davis to do, you know, the audio for those things, they definitely had the intention, and I think they were going to implement it if it went next gen. It was said to me in this when they introduced the feature, they said, "This is where we make everybody forget about NFL 2K5." You know, and it's venerated halftime show, which it always amuses me. NFL 2K5 had the most hated, you know, sports broadcaster, you know, Chris Berman, but because he gave a highlight show at halftime of the game that you were playing and already knew what was going on, you know, then suddenly it becomes a feature that is, you know, long lost and lamented. Anyway, they were definitely going in that direction with NCAA, and if they were going in that direction with NCAA, I have to think that they're going to be doing that with Madden at some point too. Madden definitely could stand to have that kind of an upgrade, because as we saw with 25, I mean, the broadcast presentation was minimally, and that is being very charitable, upgraded from the previous year.
It's so funny too, because as Brian, you alluded to, this kind of stuff to me would be so interesting in our online dynasty, because I now have much more of an interest what's going on with Ole Miss, especially if they're losing, because I know that Donnie Moore, you know, lost his shot at the national championship, for example.
But the problem with that, you have two problems with that. The first is, I don't know if you've noticed this, but, you know, they generate what's going to happen before it actually happens.
Between the weeks, that's right.
Right. So, you know, if I play my game, you know, and I see, you know, Georgia Tech goes up on Miami 21-7 in the third quarter, it's going to be the same thing for you, even if you play your game 3 days later. So there's that instance. And then the second instance is, you know, how do you account for user scores in that? There's no way that you're going to have Donnie, you know, and Ole Miss, you know, defeating Texas A&M in a shootout in College Station and, you know, remapping the BCS if it's a user controlled game. I don't see how you're going to be able to do that and serve that you know, to people when they play the game, not without a hell of a lot of complexity.
Well, yeah, no, I hey, look, that's all details, right? I just wanted to just show up and work. But I mean, all kidding aside, sure, right? Most of the time when I go in to play my game, I don't really check to see what anybody else has done. I hop into my game.
Sure.
And we already know that NCAA 14 automatically picks highlights and loads those highlights up onto their server so you could, you know, do the game stories and stuff. So it would be cool if they were able to sort of take that next step and say, okay, if the game has already been played, I could have those highlights get, you know, interspersed at key times or something like that. Again, just I didn't even think about that, like I said, until Brian mentioned our online dynasty. I've had, as we mentioned several times, a ton of fun in our online dynasty, just knowing that a few, you know, guys that I know, we're all playing in various situations, having our various successes and failures, and how that's all sort of unfolded this year. So I interrupted. So keep on going.
Well, no. The other two things that I would say, one is it's just sort of a stickler detail, and you do see a little bit of an implementation of it in Madden. But I need a meaningful practice mode where you're going up, where you're testing your team against what's coming in the next week. And this is a little bit more significant or material in American football, you know, as opposed to, you know, baseball, where it's just you're playing every day. Even in basketball, I think playing against a scout team would have some value. Practice now is just, okay, get out there and here's the play calling menu. And, you know, here's the floor art if you're in basketball, you know, or here's the plays you're going to run it. Now pick the defense that's going to go against it. I don't want to do that. I don't know what defense is going to go against it. I need to know. I need to see a more live situation, and I need to be able to test it repeatedly to see where the tendencies are for my opposing defense's defensive ends. You know, how are they going to play this? What are they looking for? You know, what are the defensive backs doing? I need to see multiple situations that I can test a particular play against before I can judge it to be, you know, efficient or not. I think practice, you know, that is nothing that is going to sell a game. You're never going to put that on the back of the box. You know, come practice the way the pros do. Jesus Christ. Nobody's going to sell a game like that, but they could do so much more with it to make it more meaningful. And especially, you know, a game like Madden, which has, you know, Steve Gibbons and Zach Farley, you know, those guys, you know, they give you, you know, the laboratory and all the things that they do and test repeatedly, even if a lot of strategies are a little bit more attuned toward, you know, online play. There is a huge appetite for being able to test this game and figure out exactly what works for you, you know, as opposed to just, you know, getting your ass handed to you in online play, or, you know, bumbling your way through a couple of seasons in franchise. And then finally, this is for all sports video games that have a single player career mode. We need to be able to import our careers from year to year.
Ding, baseball, ding, 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 ding.
Baseball especially. I know that there is a problem with getting the rosters to update or to match each other. There may be guys who drop out of one instance, you know, and are present in another. There may even be licensing issues, you know, where somebody, you know, leaves the league after a previous version of the game, you know, and so he's not present in a future edition, but he is in whatever you carry over. I don't care. You have to make it work, especially in baseball, where the ostensible goal is to make it to the Hall of Fame, and you're really only going to do that after a 15, 17, 19-year career. No, I don't know. What's the longest you've played Road to the Show in career length, Rich?
I have made it to probably year four.
Okay.
Jeez.
Year four. I mean, I make it to year two if I'm lucky. And it's interesting that you put that up, because year four, you know, that was one of NCAA's, you know, hidden strengths, was right. It's career mode naturally timed out after four seasons. And it was for, you know, 13 or 14 or 12 game seasons or whatever. You know, we need to be able, especially in MLB or in golf, assuming that comes back, to be able to bring our characters forward and not just, oh, well, you get an XP boost as a chit for, you know, being a loyal customer or some crap like that. Yeah. I am so tired of starting over in the – I have played more minor league baseball than major league baseball in these modes, and it's this has got to stop.
Yeah. In fact, the only reason that I made it to year four was because it was the first version of the show that came out where I could play it on the Vita and then move it over to my PS3 and vice versa, right? And because I travel a lot. And that was the only way that I even made it to year four. So, although I did once play 162 games of baseball, a full season, all on the treadmill. But that was several years ago and probably not worth talking about at this point.
You know, I played 40 games of MLB The Show 7 on a PSP.
Yeah, I played a lot of that.
And on a train.
Yeah, me too.
On the old PSP.
Yeah.
As a pitcher trying to bend a backdoor slider in against Ryan Howard, I consider that an accomplishment. But it was mostly because I had a long commute.
Yeah, I played a lot of that cuz I took the train back then. I played a lot of that, and I think I managed to get in about 15 holes on the original PSP launch of Tiger Woods cuz it took most of the train ride just to load between the holes. Love that game, but my God, it took forever. Submit, what do you got for us?
This is another across the board thing that I really, really want to see on next gen is across every sports game, across every mode, better commentary. I mean, really, NBA 2K14 or NBA 2K is the gold standard.
Yes.
When it comes to commentary, FIFA's pretty good, and yes. everything else is kind of garbage, honestly. And that's something where it seems to me that it's a computational challenge. It's a challenge, you know, not just of having more memory for extra recorded lines, but like just the complexity of layering in the different lines and layering in the different, you know, combining the halves of two different disparate lines when the situation calls for it. You know, it is a challenge. It is not an easy one to figure out. But man, that's something that I really desire. If I'm gonna not turn off Matt Vasgersian at some point during my road to the show.
Are you guys surprised that we haven't seen, NCAA Basketball 10 had the two different commentary teams? You had the ESPN commentary team and the CBS commentary team. Are you guys surprised we haven't seen anybody else try that since?
No, I'm not. I think it was very clever. And I was very charmed by that, but it was kind of a last gasp measure that they had to do. And I think it spoke to the fact that the season is most of that season is the ESPN and the regular season. And then you get to March Madness and you want to hear CBS, Bill Raftery and, you know, Gus Johnson. Mm-hmm. I don't know what percentage is. I mean, certainly not in the NFL where you've got four broadcast teams. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to have, you know, a Sunday day game and a Monday night football game. Well, then that excludes your Thursday night game, or your Thanksgiving game, mm-hmm. you know, and you've got two networks on Sunday. I don't see it happening. I would like to see, I would definitely like to see a studio show. Like if the TNT guys came over to NBA 2K, man, that would be fantastic.
Charles Barkley? Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Well, but, you know, there's that's the thing, though. It's like, you know, Charles Barkley comes over and he's in the studio in NBA 2K. Well, then why the hell isn't he in NBA's Greatest or playing on the Dream Team? You know, what's his beef with this? But my, you know, God, you know, just EJ and the Jet and Charles, that would just be like almost the Holy Grail. I would – even if they were just spouting canned commentary like a bunch of animatronic, you know, Chuck E. Cheese robots, it would be fantastic. Love it.
You mean like how the original like reveal of LeBron James spoke on the next gen NBA 2K14 trailer? Remember that?
Oh, no, yeah.
That was frightening.
Yeah, that was weird.
All right. Well, hey, this has been another great show. I appreciate it, gentlemen, showing up and participating, as always. Lots more coming, believe it or not. Our next show will be the last one before the launch of the next generation console. So we have got so much good stuff to go. Again, it's just with all the stuff happening, we didn't even really talk much about Madden tonight, but there's still plenty of time left to talk about that. So I'm just excited, and thank you to all the listeners for listening. We look forward to speaking with you again soon. Just a couple of quick shout outs before we go. We will continue to have the development crews from Madden, from NBA Live, from NBA 2K, all coming on the show over the next few weeks. And also, if you didn't hear it earlier this week, we had the great Simon Reed, the creator of New Star Soccer, come on, and he and I had a conversation about the update about that. And Ian Cummings came on afterwards, and we chatted about it a little bit too. So in addition to the show, in a couple of weeks, you will continue to hear from the fellows making the games and as we continue to get close to the launch of the next generation title. So on behalf of Brian Weedeye from Pasta Padre, from Sumit Sarkar from Polygon, Owen Good from Kotaku, and not on behalf of Chris Sander nor Mike Suzek, who could not figure out how to come on the show tonight, I am Rich Grisham from the Internet. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you again in 2 weeks. Well, thanks for listening to this episode of the Press Row Podcast brought to you by Operation Sports. I'm your host, Richard Grisham. There are several ways to make sure you never miss an episode. Subscribe to it on iTunes, subscribe to it on Stitcher Radio, look for it on your favorite podcast app, follow the show on Twitter at Press Row Podcast, or just read Operation Sports every day. No matter which way you get it, please rate, review, and comment on it while you're there. That helps us keep the show going. And also make sure you follow each of our panelists on Twitter. They are as follows: Joysticks Mike Suzek at Mike Suzek, Kotaku's Owen Good at Owen Good, Polygon Sumit Sarkar at Sumit Sarkar, Operation Sports Chris Sander at Chris SNR, Operation Sports Steve Noah at Steve underscore OS, Pasta Padre's Brian Weedeye at Pasta Padre, and me, your host, Rich Grisham at Rich Grisham, and of course, Operation Sports at Operation Sports. And as always, it's a thrill to bring the Press Row Podcast to life every 2 weeks, and we couldn't do it without the great people at Operation Sports, or you, our listeners. Thanks, and we'll see you again really soon.
Yeah, I moved out of I was recording this in my girlfriend's bedroom, crashing at her place. But I'm moved out to the living room because sometimes the internet can be spotty in there. And like,
yeah, well, just make sure you record the right thing in your girlfriend's bedroom. Okay.
Yeah, she's actually at work. So
oh, is that what you call it? Okay.